ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय So, continuing, Sri Vishnu Sahasranam. I don't know how the hearers experience, but personally, I find it transcendentally pleasing to discuss the names of Lord Vishnu. Last night I spoke on Anuttama. One obvious meaning, which I discussed that last night also, one obvious meaning, which the commentators, they don't discuss, but we as Gauriyas must discuss, is Anuttama, one who is not the topmost. So, the Gauriya Vaishnavas, they have an inner understanding. So, name 82, Duradharsha, Adharsh, Duradharsha. Adharsh means it means assailable, attackable, one who can be attacked. So Duradharsh means difficult to attack or unattackable. Unassailable is a more common English word. One who cannot be overcome by the demons and others. Invincible. So we see in Krishna's pastimes that he would fight single-handedly with thousands of warriors. It's like they imagine in the modern age this Superman or such thing, but it's only an imagination. But Krishna is not an imagination. Krishna actually does it. Even the persons he empowers, we see like Arjuna, he would fight with so how many Nivarta Kavachas? 60,000? He personally, I can't remember, something, large figure. He personally killed them all. So, the nature of the demons is that they think that they are invincible. I mean, even people who are not very strong, but they have the feeling. Everyone thinks, I cannot be overcome by death. That generally they think like that. That's why we see people, they don't like to put their seatbelt. As if to show, maybe not in this country, because they're afraid of the police might be quite strict. But in small towns in India, where the police are not so strict, people don't put their seatbelt. And when I put it, they say, "Oh, it doesn't matter." They think the idea of putting the seatbelt is so the police don't catch you. But in a small town, it doesn't matter because they don't bother. It's like, well, I'm driving and nothing can go wrong. They think like that. That's Maya. I drove my car so many times, nothing went wrong. That could have been said by the thousands daily who have serious accidents before they have the accident. So it is Maya to think that one is invincible. Some others may appear to be so, like Ravana. Hiranyakashipu, same person, came again. And to all appearances he was invincible. But he met his match in Rama, who's actually invincible. When the two of them came together, then it is seen. Both claim to be invincible, then it is seen who is actually invincible. Just like that many years ago. You may remember. You probably don't remember. I heard it from Basu Ghosh when there was a world heavyweight championship boxing match lined up between Joe Frazier and Muhammad Ali. So it was billed as the immovable object meets the irresistible force. So either the immovable object has to move or the irresistible force is resisted. So it's a clash of the titans. But when Krishna meets those who are advertised as invincible, guess who wins each time? Of course, Krishna, he also runs away sometimes from fighting. Sometimes he's defeated. Ravana couldn't defeat him, but his friends sometimes in fighting in Vrindavan, they defeated him. So, although he cannot be overcome by any force, because he is the origin of all power, Shaktiman, but by love, there is one force which is bigger and strong. If Krishna is not sometimes defeated in the mock fighting of the cowherd boys, then there wouldn't be any fun in fighting, would there? So sometimes he's defeated also. Also Krishna appears to be overcome by Jarasandha. He runs away as if in fear, but he had his own reasons for doing so. And also, he ran away. Kala, the Yavana, was chasing him also, as if Krishna was afraid. So, unassailable, that brings upon one who is very strong, they tend to become haughty and arrogant. Haughty is actually just a synonym of, more or less a synonym of arrogant. Yeah, it means, haughty means, arrogantly proud. It's more or less the same word. So, we find that someone who's physically very strong, especially kids at school, then he becomes, not in every case, but they often become a bully. Nasty. So like Ravana, again. Arrogant, bully. Just, he didn't care what anyone thinks. He'll just do whatever he likes. As was seen in the case of that Apsara, the wife of one of the sons of Kuvera. I can't remember which of the two that, which of the two famous ones. Her name was Vedavati, I believe. So she was pleading with him and saying, but he still violated her. So just doing whatever he likes without caring about others. However, that name may apply to Krishna also. To his enemies, he may appear like that. Krishna will say that now you have met your match. But his inherent quality is not like that at all, as will be seen in the next name. Kritagya, which means grateful. So, Krishna, he reciprocates. Those who are arrogant toward him, those who are inimical toward him, Krishna may appear to be haughty and arrogant. But actually his nature is very kind. Now another meaning of this name is that he is only approachable by his devotees. Because the non-devotees, they want to approach him in an inimical mood. But they cannot. Their approach to Krishna is that they want to overcome him. So you could say that they can get close to him, but not close emotionally. They choose to remain at a distance. They don't want to have a relationship with Krishna. And so they remain at a distance. Whereas the devotees, they can come right up to Krishna and embrace him and kiss him. So there's a difference. In Krishna's loving affairs also, in Vrindavan we find that sometimes he appears to be haughty and arrogant in his dealings. But that is again ananda chinmaya prema rasa. That is a different kind of arrogance. That is very pleasing to his transcendental lovers. Whereas the demons, when they try to approach Krishna, who is the reservoir of all pleasure, they become unhappy. They don't like to see Krishna. Even if they think of Krishna, they don't like Krishna. So completely opposite effect they get by themselves imitating Krishna and promoting themselves as invincible. Only Krishna is invincible. Others may be invincible by the grace of Krishna. As Arjuna found out, just after Krishna had passed away from this world, it was the same Arjuna with the same Gandiva, the same Arjuna who had defeated so many apparently invincible warriors, and then just some cowherd, like some cattle rustlers, the kind of people who steal cattle. They stole the wives of Krishna. They kidnapped them. It was unimaginable, but Arjuna understood that this is possible, that Krishna had taken away his power. As long as Krishna was present, then Arjuna was protected. And he was infused with power. Of course, that's another pastime of Krishna. So that verse is, Yatra Yogeshwara Krishna Yatra Partha Dhanudharaha Tatra Shrir Vijayo Bhuti Dhruva Nitir Matir Mama. Where there is Krishna, the master of all mystics, and Arjuna, the holder of the bow, then there is certainly Tatra Shriya, there is opulence, victory, morality. Tatra Shriya Vijaya Bhuti Dhruva, there is certitude. Oh, there are certainly these qualities are there. But actually, that is true. Where does all that come from? Krishna. But those qualities are particularly manifested through the devotee, for the devotee. And when Arjuna is present, then we see that Krishna manifests these qualities to glorify his devotee. Otherwise, Krishna has no impetus to do so. So actually, all good qualities come from Krishna, but Arjuna is necessary. He's like the catalyst there. The qualities are there, but in Arjuna's presence, in the devotee's presence, those qualities become manifest. So, the next name, Kritagya. Kritagya literally means grateful. Kritagya. Or Kritajna. Kritagya, Krita means action or activity. And gya means one, a knower of. So one who knows an activity. And it's in the sense of knowing, appreciating. So this is a very important name, and it appears to be just the opposite of duradharsha. Not duradarshan, duradharsha. Not well, I guess you could put an N at the end. You could say it with an N at the end. You have to put an N at the end. as in Tamil, and in Sanskrit I'm also Arjuna. So you can put it at the end, but it just becomes confusing with Durdarshan. Okay, all right. Yeah, it's actually respectful in Tamil to put the N at the end. So, one who is grateful. Yeah, it appears to be opposite, but then all apparently opposite qualities, all contradictions are possible in Krishna without him being a bipolar personality. You see, some people, they have like Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde. Sometimes they're like one person, sometimes they're like someone else, schizophrenic. But Krishna, he does, he naturally manifests all qualities because all qualities come from Krishna. So it's not incompatible. Even you'll find any king, any kshatriya, the kings, they reflect many of the qualities of Vishnu. They're the representative of Vishnu in this world. Naranam chandaradhipam, Krishna says, among men I am the king. So Vishnu's power, nobility, opulence, these are all reflected by the king. So nobility means that he is opulent. And we see in this world people have lots of money, they're respected, but in actual civilization, in a real culture, someone who has lots of money, they're not simply rich, but they also have good qualities. I mean, even previously in Europe, that idea was there. The nobleman, they're called a nobleman because they have noble qualities and they're trained to have high qualities. So it's not that they're just dominating others and they're arrogant, but they can be what is that? Vajradapi Kotorani. They can be as hard as a thunderbolt towards those who require to be punished. And Kusumapi Komal, they're as soft as a flower to persons who should be reciprocated in that way. They appreciate the good behavior of others. So, a couple of verses in Bhagavad Gita, which support this. Krishna says, Apiche sudara charo bhajate mamananya bhag sadhur eva samantavya samyag vyavasito hisaha. Even if one commits the most abominable activities, if his intention is to serve Krishna wholeheartedly, and due to some bad habit or due to some circumstance, he commits an activity that would normally be considered abominable, still Krishna says he should be considered saintly. Also, patrang pushpang palang toyam yome bhaktya prayachati tadahang bhakti paharitam ashnami prayatatmanaha. Krishna is so great. It is far, 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 far. You can go on many times saying that. Greater than us. And generally, there cannot be a relationship between people unless they're on a very similar social platform. We don't find the rich people hanging out with the bums. We find in Mahabharata that was a major factor in bringing the whole Kurukshetra war to happen. It's a major factor in the lead up to that. In childhood, Drupada was a friend of, who was that? Was it Virat? They're both friends. No. So, Who is that? They were friends, and then later. Drona went to Drupada. Yeah, right. Okay, you got it right. Drona's son, Ashvatthama, was so poor that he couldn't even feed his son milk, for which the boy would be teased by his friends. So in Drona and Drupada, they were friends in childhood. So Drona went to beg from Drupada. Drona was a Brahmin and Drupada was a king. And Drona reminded Drupada of their friendship, but Drupada said, "We can't be friends. I'm a king, and you're a beggar." So he insulted him in this way. So that was it. They can't be friends. But Krishna, he wants to be friends with every minute living being. He comes to this world to ask, "Why have you forgotten me?" And if one does, even if one does a little service, even if one is very sinful, Krishna sees the service. It's not an excuse for being sinful. Or even one may have for many lifetimes forgotten and rejected Krishna, but if at some point out of love one offers Krishna even some insignificant flower, Krishna very gratefully accepts it. Little sincerity, Krishna accepts that. Again, we've been forgetting Krishna, rejecting Krishna for so many millions of lifetimes, but Krishna is ready to accept even a little service, and if we sarvadhaman parityajama mekam sharanam vaja hang tva sarva pape bhyo moksha ishami mashucha, if we approach Krishna with sincerity and fully surrender to him, then Krishna, he being very grateful that this person has come to me, then he overlooks all past sinful activities. Also in Mahabharata we find that Draupadi, she called out Govinda, and Govinda came. And gave her unlimited cloth to protect her from Dushasan. Because, previously, the story goes, she had provided Krishna with a little cloth. Krishna cut his finger, and Draupadi provided a little cloth to bind his wound. So, her only shelter, even when her husbands could not be her shelter, Bhishma could not be her shelter. So many great men were there, but they were not being her shelter. It was unimaginable for her that she was put in a situation being the daughter of a great king, being the wife of such great husbands, being known and respected by all the populace, but she was put into such a situation. There was no one to protect her. But she called out, "Govinda!" And Govinda provided her with unlimited cloth, so that Dushasan, his name means impossible to control. So he became disappointed. He became overcome by Draupadi's love for Krishna, by which Krishna was obliged to reciprocate with him. So kritagya, it also means he knows all action. He knows what we are doing. And he knows why we are doing it. He knows. He's within everyone's heart. He's upadrashtanumanta cha. He sees everything. And he allows. You want to be a rascal? Okay, you be a rascal. He allows. He knows everything. We cannot hide from Krishna. He knows, apart from our physical activities, he knows our desires, our attitude, our motives. Krishna knows everything. Especially, Krishna knows his devotees. They're endeavoring very seriously in Krishna's service. Krishna recognizes. So a devotee may not be recognized by others. He may be performing sincere service, even sometimes for many years, and no one particularly notices. But a devotee doesn't, he's not performing his service so that others will notice. He just wants that Krishna will be pleased. And if one has this attitude, then certainly Krishna will be pleased. If we simply try to please Krishna, it's not a matter of showing others. What in materialistic society we want to show something to others, what I have done. An achiever, a success. But a devotee is not concerned. He only wants to please Krishna. Others may notice or may not notice. That's all. Everything is for the pleasure of Krishna. It doesn't have to be seen or recognized by others. So we see there are so many devotees who, it used to be in India, people would rise early in the morning, perform puja. They're not doing with an audience. It's not being broadcast live on the web. The audience is Krishna. It's the devotee and Krishna. And every day they'll rise early, collect flowers, offer them to Krishna, and grow flowers very nicely, thinking what flowers we can grow very nicely, and what flowers Krishna likes. Look after them, plant the seeds, and then look after the plant very carefully for months as it grows. And then just when it's perfect, they'll offer to Krishna. That's all. Just after months of looking after the flower, they'll take and offer it to Krishna one time, and it's finished. But Krishna sees. Oh, very nice. Krishna appreciates so much. So Krishna knows everything. And if we're performing devotional service also in any mood other than pure devotion to Krishna, if we're thinking this is a drudgery, or why is this Tamil president making me do so much work? Who does he think he is? If we have this kind of attitude, or I'm worshipping Krishna, why doesn't Krishna make me rich? Why does he put me into so many troubles? If we think like that, then Krishna knows that also. So, again, we can compare to Ravana, who thinks that, well, I don't need anyone. I don't need anyone's approval or disapproval. I'm just doing whatever I do whatever I like. I don't care what others think. But, devotee cares what Krishna thinks. Krishna, even though he is independent, he doesn't need anyone, but he feels as if he needs others. He's dependent on his devotees. He feels dependent. Even though he is constitutionally independent, that is established right at the beginning of Bhagavatam. Swarat, he is independent. But later on, he himself contradicts that. Aham bhakta parad hi no. Nahi aswatantra hi dvijaha. He says that I am not independent. Don't think I am independent. They told you that in the Bhakti Shastri course, they're wrong. I am dependent. And I am dependent on my devotees. And just to emphasize the point, he says again, I am not independent. So, who's right? Is the first verse of Bhagavatam right, or that verse comes later in the ninth canto? Well, they're both right. But Krishna, he feels. Why does he become angry with Mother Yashoda? She's feeding me, and then she puts me down and runs off somewhere. Who does she think she is? I'm her son, and she's feeding me, and I need to drink milk so I can. I'm hungry. So he feels he is becoming angry at Mother Yashoda because she sets him aside when she's feeding him. That is the gratefulness of Krishna, there's this sense of dependence, which is actually far superior to that a devotee asks Krishna, please help me this way, that way, the other way, or he offers prayers to Krishna. Far more exalted is the position of Mother Yashoda. That Krishna becomes, we may think Krishna becomes angry at her. You see, she did something wrong. She's an offender. No such thing. That Krishna feels dependent on her is. That Shukadev Goswami also comments that prasadam labhire gopi. What is that? Natat prapya vimukti dat. Naivo varincho nobhavo nashriya rapyanga sangshaya prasadam labhire gopi. Yattat prapya vimukti dat. Brahma, not Shiva, not Lakshmi, none of them got the mercy that Mother Yashoda got because from Krishna, who's the giver of liberation. But Mother Yashoda, she never asked for liberation. She was busy looking after the household, looking after Krishna. So, we are praying to Krishna, please give me this, give me that. But if Krishna feels grateful to us, then that is the perfection of pure devotional service. And Krishna can be he will be grateful even if we offer just a little flower. If we offer it as with pure love, Krishna, please accept this. Then that is the perfection. That Krishna becomes very pleased. Krishna is so grateful, even some service offered in a previous life. There are so many examples. Actually, the whole Bhakti Shastri, we're talking about Bhakti Shastri. In the beginning, we should understand how Krishna is great, how Krishna is independent, how Krishna is the controller. But the perfection of understanding Shastra is how grateful Krishna is to his devotees. All the stories of Bhagavatam, we find that Krishna is simply reciprocating with his devotees because of the love that they offer to him. Gajendra, in the body of an elephant, offering prayers to Krishna with pure love, with pure dependence on Krishna, and Krishna immediately comes to save him. Ambarish is worshipping Krishna with he's made it his center of his life, and Krishna protects him, even though Ambarish never asked for such protection. So Krishna's gratefulness is prime quality by which he reciprocates with his devotees. He knows, he reciprocates. He knows, what is in the heart of the devotee. So the next name, 84, Kriti, which means it literally means action or activity. One who acts expertly, one who is successful. one who is busy in activity. It specifically means, one's more specific meaning is one who is engaged in pious activities. Karma, the term generally, well, in one context, it means specifically pious activities, or it can mean impious activities. Or another meaning means one who has attained, he's performed activities and got what he wanted, attained his object, and is fully satisfied. So, another meaning is he is action. So that means that actually he is the cause of the action or that everyone does. We may man proposes and God disposes. We may desire to perform so many activities, but we can't do them unless Krishna allows. Right? We might think, I will do this, I will do that. Inshallah, if Allah allows. Otherwise it's not possible. We may say, I will do this, I will do that. But only if He allows is it possible. So, we may desire to do that. Krishna is very satisfied if we do something in His service, like offering Him a flower. Or, maybe offering a flower, Krishna is very grateful. Or in the case of Arjuna, if Arjuna said, okay Krishna, you like it if someone offers you a leaf of flower, fruit or water. So, there's no need for me to fight, I'll just go and do puja in my home. But Krishna won't be pleased. In Arjuna's case, he would not have been satisfied, Krishna, if Arjuna had said, all right, I'll just offer you a flower, forget all this fighting. Krishna wanted him to fight. So, but Arjuna's fighting, again, it's only possible by the grace of Krishna. So even though Krishna is very pleased when, for whatever sincere service that devotees perform, but actually it's only possible by His grace that He can do it, that the devotee can do it. So what can a devotee do then? What can he offer to Krishna? It's his sincere desire to serve Krishna that is accepted by Krishna. But again, the sincere desire that has to be manifest in action. But again, the action is only possible by the grace of Krishna. So all we can do is pray to Krishna. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. O Krishna, O energy of Krishna, please engage me in your service. That's all. So, Krishna, he's also active. Namam karmani limpati me name karma phale spriha. Krishna says, I am not obliged to do any work, nor do I desire the result of any activity. Still I work. Krishna is always active. Action. When there's some action, there's some possibility of reciprocation and reciprocation between living beings. If there's no action, akarma, this is discussed in Bhagavad Gita. Those who want to stop all activity. And if there's no activity, then there's no loving dealings with Krishna. So the idea of stopping all activity and in the name of transcendental realization is a very poor level of transcendental realization, because there's no activity means there's no activity for Krishna either. So even the neophyte devotee who approaches Krishna with material desires is, in one sense, better situated than the impersonalist who just wants to stop all activity, all desire, and forget Krishna also. Whereas the neophyte devotee doesn't want to forget Krishna. He wants to remember Krishna, maybe for the wrong reason, but there is some reciprocation with and recognition of Krishna. So Krishna, he is performing activities, and whatever he does is certain to be successful. That's why we pray to Krishna. That's why we pray, and people, some pray to God or Allah, but they pray to Krishna because they know that he can make everything success. What if he wants, everything will go nicely. If he doesn't want, then it's up to him. But we are not the power. We are not the powerful. Again, if we compare to Ravana, he thought he was independently able to act by his own strength. He thought, I am successful. I am doing everything. But even the power to resist Krishna comes from Krishna through his material energy. Krishna gives a license to the material energy to give power to different living beings, gives power to the birds to fly with their wings, to the ants to build their nests, build their anthills or whatever. So Krishna gives power even to the non-devotees so they can resist Krishna. And their foolishness is thinking that they themselves are the doer, when they're not. So, Hare Krishna, any question about this? Yeah, what will we do for Krishna? We can't really do anything for Krishna. He allows us. And what can we do anyway? Just like some rich man, what will you do for him? Maybe the doctor can do something for him. But then Krishna, what can we do for Krishna? He's already got everything. He already gives us everything. What can we do for him? We can simply offer him, just like Srila Prabhupada gave that example of the father is feeding the child, and if the child thinks this is very nice and gives some of the food that the father has given back to the father, thinking this is very nice, let my father also enjoy it. And the father is very pleased with that attitude. The father is giving it, he doesn't need the child to give it to him, but the attitude of the child to want to please the father, that is very pleasing. And the father will take that food from the child with far more pleasure than if he just takes it himself. Krishna can produce any amount of items for pleasure for himself. But if someone offers it to him with love, he takes it with far more pleasure than if he had just taken it for himself. So that is Krishna's gratefulness. Krishna performs all activities. So he has no need to act. He is Atmarama. He's satisfied in himself. He's Aptakama. He fills all his desires by himself. But still he acts. And he causes others to act also. So any question about this?
You mentioned that Krishna wouldn't have been satisfied if Arjuna would be just offering.
Yeah, if Arjuna said, hey, that's great, Patram Pushpa, okay, great, I'm quitting the battle. I'm going to go and offer some flower to you. Arjuna had to offer arrows into the bodies of the enemies. That was his offering to Krishna.
Could you, Maharaj, help the preachers to find the proper way to, in that sense, increase people's, devotional activities towards the Lord? Because many times that's preaching, like for some people, preaching is just on that level of, just offer flower and some water and like that.
The Sunday preach feasting, just. offering, saying to people, offer Krishna a flower. Well, that's a beginning. And not only a beginning, one highly advanced devotees also do that. But Krishna also says, Mame kam sharanam raja, you offer. Tani sarvani karmani, you offer all your activities to me. So Krishna is particularly grateful to a flower offered by someone who offers their whole life and everything to Krishna. Someone may offer a flower, but he wants to get more back. It's a business deal. I'll offer so much money to Krishna, and Krishna will give me more back. So people are thinking like that. Krishna also reciprocates with them, but it's not with the same level of appreciation as if someone actually offers his very life to Krishna. So it's not exactly a flower. Of course, Krishna does like flowers, especially likes some flowers more than others. There's some flowers which we should offer to Krishna, and some flowers that we shouldn't. So Krishna likes these things, but the devotee offers him those flowers because he knows that Krishna likes them. Not because he wants to get something back from Krishna. That's pure devotion. That ingratiates Krishna. So we have heard from our acharyas. And we can personally experience that despite all our disqualifications, if we just try to serve Krishna, Krishna gives us so much, he reciprocates so much. As Srila Prabhupada said, if you take one step toward Krishna, he takes 10 steps toward you. So, especially in the modern age, people, in Kali Yuga, people are so fallen. But even in this fallen condition, if we just try with a little sincerity to serve Krishna, we can perceive, we can experience how Krishna fills our life with bliss, how Krishna interacts with us. Regarding Krishna's gratefulness, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu stated, Alpo Seva Bahumane Atma Parjanto Prasad. Krishna considers even a little service to be very great, and in reciprocation, out of his mercy, gives his very self to the devotee. What a grateful Lord is Krishna. So we'll finish. Hare Krishna. Any questions from the ladies? No. All right. So, Hare Krishna. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Shri Shri Gaur Nitai ki jai. Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna.